Good morning. Let me begin by saying happy Mother's Day to all of you that are moms this morning. We're so glad that you're here. We're also so glad that all of our young people are joining us this morning as well as we gather to worship. We say good morning to all of you that are joining us online. Thanks for allowing us to come into your home this way as we gather together to worship our God. Just want to remind you that we're here to worship our great Creator, our Savior, our Lord, our King, our soon-coming King. He's coming soon. Amen?
Amen.
So I invite you this morning to worship God from the depth of your being. Sing out loud. Don't worry about the person next to you. They'll let you sing loud, and they'll sing loud, and then we'll all sing loud together. How's that sound? Perfect. All right? Well, let's stand this morning and praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Ladies, you are important. Some of you are moms. Some of you are trying to be moms. Some of you are maybe still single. Whatever season of life you are, lady, you are important. And we want to honor you this morning. And I need some help. I need all of the kids and all of the youth to meet Miss Rachel right there in the back. If you could go right back there. Go, 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 go. Go, 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 run, run. I need your help to honor these wonderful ladies. She's got something for you that we're going to give to these ladies this morning. But ladies, whatever season of life you're in, we want to honor you. And so if all of the ladies in the room would please stand. Please stand, ladies. And men and children, let's give these ladies a round of applause. Our kids are bringing you a chocolate bar that you can eat while Fred preaches this morning. Once you've gotten your chocolate bar, if you could be seated, that way we can see who's gotten it and who hasn't. Make sure we got one up here. Good. So, is everybody getting one? We've got some more up here in the front, young people. There we go. Some over here. We got some over here on the side. Oh, still some there in the middle. I hope we haven't run out. Ladies, did everybody get one? Oh, we need one right here in the front. Right. She has one. Oh, well, all right. No problem. All right. Well, this is our treat to you, ladies, to say how wonderful you are, how much you mean in our lives, and all of us would be silly if we said that you aren't important and that you haven't affected our lives. Let me pray over you, ladies. Father, we thank you for each lady that's in this room. We thank you for each lady that's walking this morning. God, you uniquely created these ladies. You gave them their personalities, their makeup, the things that they like, the things that they don't like, and you did all of that for a specific purpose. You have given them great qualities that allow them to care for people and love people in a special and unique way. And so we thank you for giving them to us, for putting them in our lives, and for allowing them to show us who you are, God, through their lives and through how you created them. And so we thank you for our moms. We thank you for our aunts, our sisters, all of the ladies that are in our lives. We thank you for them. We pray a blessing over them. And we ask that you would use them for your purpose and for the kingdom. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, again, we're so glad that each one of you are here this morning. Welcome to Warren Community Fellowship. And so if you're a guest this morning, we're glad that you're here. If you're a regular attender, we're glad that you're here. And we've gathered here to worship our God. The message. So I'm going to pray over that, pray over morning, and then we're going to continue to worship God through song and then hear his word this morning. Father God, we again thank you for this day that you have given us. This is the day that you have made. And because you are God, we choose to rejoice in you. We're also here to say thank you because you are such a good God. You love us deeply. You have walked each step of our week with us this past week. You've never left us. You reveal yourself to us each and every day. And we love you for all the things that you've given us and how you provide for us. And we give you our offerings this morning as a response to your grace and your mercy in our life. We also do it out of obedience to your word. And we also do it as an act of worship this morning. We want to do nothing but worship you from the depth of our being this morning. And so receive these offerings. Receive our vocal praise. Receive as we listen to your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me if you're able to, and let's continue to lift our voices to God.
Let our praise be your welcome. Let our songs be a sign. We are here for you. We are here for you. Let your breath come from heaven. Fill our hearts.
Gentle and thundering noise, oh God, all that you are is
Says, God, I run into your arms. Do you need to run into God's arms this morning? You know where you're at this morning, but allow yourself to just run into his arms and allow him to love you this morning. I delight myself in you. In the glory of your presence, I'm overwhelmed. I'm overwhelmed by you. And God, I run into your arms, unashamed because of mercy. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed by you. The Father's love for us,
such is treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to
God, as we stand and sit here in your presence, we've been reminded of all that you've done for us. We are your children. And you call us your sons and your daughters. You call us your precious ones. You love us so deeply that you did not want us to stay in a state of sin, separated from you. But you desire us to be able to run into your throne room and to jump up on your lap and to have a relationship with you. And so we thank you that that is all possible this morning. Because, Jesus, you gave your life so that we wouldn't have to. And so we run into your arms this morning, Father God, and we are not ashamed because we know that you traded our sin and gave us your righteousness, and we stand in your presence this morning, clothed in your righteousness, spotless. And you see us through that lens as if we had never sinned. Thank you. And now we turn our attention to your word. Holy Spirit, teach us this morning. We so want to be like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we have a wonderful treat. Fred Butcher has been asked to come and deliver the word this morning. He's one of our elders. He also filled the pastorate for many, many years when he was younger. And so I invite you to welcome our own Fred Butcher.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you so much. I am older, all right. Appreciate that. And I really appreciate so much our worship team. Don't they do a great job of just drawing us right into God's presence? And we're so grateful for that. And anyway, I'm also grateful for Pastor Kerry allowing me the privilege of being able to come and speak before you here this morning. And, you know, as I look out across this crowd, I see a lot of my family here. That's great. Would my family just stand up, please? And you can just see, I have a small family. Yeah. Thank you. All right. But, you know, I have a larger family, too, and that's all of you guys. And I love you guys. And just love seeing you every Sunday and talking to you and hearing your stories. And, you know, God is great. He's just blessed me so much by allowing me to be a part of this church. And so I just want to thank you. And I thank all you people out there in the cyber world as well. And just thanks for joining us. And I realize that you guys, you could be anywhere you want to be this morning, but you chose to be here. You know, that really impresses me. You know, time is the only thing that we have that we cannot get back. We cannot pay to get it. And here you are giving your most valuable resource to come, not to hear me, but to hear from God. And so hopefully, you know, the Lord will use me in your life here today. But anyway, I just want to thank you for giving us your time here today. So let's start with prayer. Father God, we are so grateful to be here. And we're so grateful, God, for all that you've done for us. Lord, as Tom has led us through these songs, which cause us to just reflect upon the grace that you've given us. Lord, I'm almost speechless as I think of how you found me and the rest of us who know Christ. You found us as sinners, and Lord, some of the things that we've done in our past, but yet, Lord, through the power of regeneration, the power of the Holy Spirit, of us accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, by the power of the cross, then, Lord, you've made us alive spiritually, and you've cleansed us so that we are fit to come into your presence. So, Lord, here we are today in your presence, ready to listen to what you say to us today. So, Father, I just ask that you might use me to encourage and inspire and, Lord, allow us to see your working in our lives in a better way. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is Mother's Day. And as Tom was saying, I pastored for many years, actually for over 30 years. So that means that I preached at least 30 Mother's Day messages, all right? And so I have a little bit of practice in this, but you know, this is 2021, all right? Things are different today, aren't they? I mean, I've lived like 7 decades, can you believe that? And but this year is, I mean, things are just kind of crazy, you know? And so this is the first year that I feel like I have to define what a mother is. I mean, there's just so much confusion out there today. So in order to be able to define what a mother is, of course, I have to define what a woman is. And, you know, things are so confusing that I want you to look at this here. The next slide here. There it is. Okay. And now I want you, that's a beautiful young couple there. And it's Mother's Day. And look at the caption here next. Oops. Went the wrong way. Well, let me read the caption to you that was supposed to be on there. Okay, you know, let me just begin by saying that things are so confusing. This university in Australia has said that it is no longer proper to use the term mother and father. Instead, we should use the terms birthing parent or non-gestational parent. Now, how does that work for you guys? So anyway, the statement here for this was supposed to be non-menstrual partner wishes menstrual partner a happy birthing parent's day or person's day. Sadly, and let me just tell you, all joking aside, you know, my heart is broken over all of this today. I don't know if you are brokenhearted like I am, but there are some who are so totally confused over the difference between a man and a woman that that they don't know who they are. They don't know what gender they are. And, you know, so what I'd like to do today is I would like to come to the only source that we have that is the total source of truth. Now, we used to be able to say that we could go to science and we could find out the answer to things. But today, science is so politicized that we can't even trust what scientists are saying because they are so biased by political polarization. And so, therefore, we need to come to the only source that gives us reliable information that never changes, that is always true, and that we can always count on. The only true source of information, of course, is the Bible. Now, the Bible is not a science book, but it does contain accurate scientific statements. It's not a psychology book, but it does give us great psychological advice. It is not a historical book, but it's the only source of complete, accurate history that we have, is the Bible. And you might say, well, you're a pastor, you're biased, you know, you've got to say those kind of things, right? Well, let me just say that, you know, there are so many proofs that the Bible is true. You can look at all the archaeological evidence that that confirms what is said in the Old and New Testament. You can look at all of the scientific statements that were made in Scripture long before the scientific evidence was discovered by man, like the dietary laws that God gave in the Old Testament, like the hygienic laws that he gave. They had no idea about bacteria or viruses in those days. But yet God set all those things down. So, for instance, one of those things is quarantines. God talked about quarantines back, you know, thousands of years ago. And it hasn't been but in the last few hundred years that we've had microscopes and so forth that be able to see germs and see how important it is to quarantine people who have germs. But here today, we live with quarantine all the time, don't we? But yet God had that all planned and revealed it to his people through the Scriptures thousands of years ago. And then there is biblical prophecy, where hundreds of years, sometimes thousands of years before an event took place, God described it with such meticulous detail, there could be no doubt at all about it being that was the fulfillment of that prophecy. So if you have any doubts about the Bible or God's Word, I wish that you would get rid of those doubts. God's Word is true. It's relevant. It's living and it's alive. And it's inerrant and infallible. And we can trust what it says. So when we are confused, like we are in this decade, we can go back to the Scriptures. And we can find Scriptures that will help us. You know, in Proverbs chapter 12, or 18, verse 4, it says, "The words of man's mouth are a deep water. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbly brook." So God gives us this picture about the words of man as contrasted to the words of God. The words of man are like a deep well. Oh, it is just so hard pulling that bucket up out of that deep well, okay? And that's the way men's words are. They're so confusing. I will tell you, we can confuse every topic. But God's Word is like a bubbling brook. You know, let me just put it just really simply for you, okay? If we do it God's way, it works out. If we just do what God says, things work well for us. But if we do it man's way, then I will tell you, it gets really confusing. Okay? So here, it's really simple. Just do it God's way, okay? And it'll work out for you. All right. So, so when we talk about what a mother is and what a woman is, let's go back to the beginning. All right? Go back to Genesis chapter 1. It says in Genesis 1:27, "God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." I want you to notice a couple things in this verse. Number one says that God made them male and female. God did that. All right? God determined the gender. Let's see what Jesus says about that in Mark chapter 10. It says, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." You know what that word made means? It means made. Okay? God made them male and female. He was the one that chose. All right? So God wove your gender into your developing body in your mother's womb. He determined what gender that would be. Now, again, I want to say this with love and compassion. If you feel like you're a male or female trapped in another gender's body, You know, my heart really goes out to you. But I want you to know that that is a lot of confusion that doesn't need to be there. you know, then if you feel that way, then you need to change your identity and not your body. You know, today there are a lot of people who are having surgeries, mutilating their bodies, and taking tons of hormones to try to identify what they believe is their gender. You know, feelings change, but facts don't. When God created your body, in every single cell of your body, He branded it with a chromosome that determined whether you're male or female. No amount of surgery or hormones or anything else can change that at all, ever. God made you male and female, okay? And I'm sorry I have to belabor that, but I feel like I have to today. I know that perhaps there are some people here today that perhaps have gone through some kind of trauma. And because of that, you don't want to identify with the gender that God stamped in your every cell in your body. Let me just say that if you feel like you are a victim of something like that, I would encourage you not to look at yourself as a victim, but as an overcomer. Now, we do know that bad things do happen to good people. All we have to do is go through the book of Psalms, and we can see how people were mistreated and then how they called out to God during that time. Yes, bad things do happen to good people. I don't have all the answers of why God allows that, but I know that He's a good, good God. And that He has a plan for everything that touches a believer's life. The Bible doesn't say carelessly or without purpose that God causes all things to work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So if you've had a tragedy in your life, would you allow God to use that tragedy to become an overcomer? To use the pain that you've gone through to help you, to help others go through similar pain. God has a purpose for that. But anyway, we will never find true peace until we come to the place of where we are willing to submit ourselves to God's choices for us. So we come to the place of where we're more interested in pleasing God than we are in pleasing ourselves. Let me say that again. You'll never find true significance or peace or satisfaction in your life until you come to the place where you want to please God more than you want to please yourself. All right? You see, God has a plan for your life. And He's a perfect God. And He's created a perfect plan. And if we submit to that plan, then things go well. If we rebel against that plan and think that we can come up with a better plan than God does, well, I think that's a little bit arrogant, don't you think? And it doesn't go so well for us. So, anyway, you can trust Him. You can trust Him. I mean, if you've trusted Him for salvation, for eternal life, then can't you trust Him with your own sexuality? You can trust God. All right, well, let's go to Mother's Day. Now that we've talked a little bit about what a mother is or what a woman is or what you are sexually or what your gender is, we can go on and talk about what mother is. I decided that as I was preparing for this message, and Carrie asked me a couple months ago if I would fill the pulpit today, and so I began to pray about what I should preach on, and I felt like God wanted me to go through Proverbs. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Proverbs gives us principle on how to deal with every situation in life. And so I thought it would be good for us to go through that. So as I went through that, I thought, well, good. We'll find ways that Proverbs tell us how to honor moms, right? Well, I discovered something as I went through Proverbs. I discovered that there's more in Proverbs about how not to honor your mom than there is about honoring your mom. So I had to change my theme a little bit. And so today we're going to look about how not to honor your mom. So the first proverb we're going to look at is Proverbs 1, verse 8. And it says, "Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teachings." So the word here, forsake, means to throw away or to give up. And the word teaching here is the word Torah in the Hebrew language. Anybody know what the word Torah, the common use of that word is? Well, the word Torah is what in the Jewish Bible is the first five books, and the five books of the law, from Genesis to Deuteronomy. But here it's used in the context of a mother's teaching. So in this passage, He says, do not give up or forsake your mother's teachings or instructions. And her instructions are kind of like, get ready for this, the law. All right. So when I was a teenager, I'd pretty much decided that by the time I reached like 14 years of age, that I probably knew more than my mom and dad did. Okay? I mean, after all, I was in school and, you know, they hadn't gone to school for years, right? And we learned so much more from the time that they were in school and I was. And so I pretty much felt like I was smarter than them. And then I left home and I was gone from home about 6 months. And you know what I found was really amazing? I've discovered my parents were geniuses. I mean, they learned so much in that 6 months. I couldn't believe it. So anyway, this proverb goes on to say, it says, indeed, they are a gracious wreath to your head and an ornament about your neck. You know, this this illustration is used twice in Scripture. Remember the guy by the name of Joseph, how he was sold into slavery into Egypt and they put him into prison. And then he was able to interpret dreams. And so Pharaoh had a dream and called him up and he interpreted that dream. And so then Pharaoh then wanted to honor him and made him the prime minister of Egypt. And so when he did that, this is recorded for us in Genesis 41:42. Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and he put it on Joseph's hands and he clothed him with garments of fine linen and he put the gold necklace around his neck. And then again, remember Daniel. Remember when Daniel was able to interpret the writing on the wall for King Belshazzar? Well, in Daniel 5:29, it says, then Belshazzar gave orders and they clothed Daniel with purple and put a necklace of gold around his neck and issued a proclamation concerning him that he now had authority as the third ruler in the kingdom. So this necklace that was put around these people's necks was something that illustrated three things. It illustrated authority. Authority is what a person gets when he speaks, then other people listen. He's a leader. Authority has really very little to do with your position or title, but it has to do with the ability for you to influence other people. So it illustrates that. Secondly, it illustrates wealth. You know, wealth is when you have the assurance that all your needs are going to be met. You know, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. That's basically what wealth is. And then thirdly, it represents honor. By putting that necklace around his neck, then people were to honor this person. So, it says here that do not forsake your mother's teachings, and indeed they shall be a wreath, a graceful wreath on your head and an ornament around your neck. So that's what we want for our children, isn't it, mothers? You want your children to be able to be strong leaders when they grow up. You want them to have sufficient wealth so they do not have to worry about their needs being met. And that they have honor as in their professions or in their lives, that people would honor them. And so he says here that the child that will heed their mother's instructions, they'll have that wreath put around their necks, which symbolizes all of that. So do not forsake the teaching of your mother. It is identical. Let's go on to the next proverb. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. This is identical to Proverbs chapter 1. You know, when the Bible says something once, it's really important and we should do it. When it says it's twice, then God wants to sit back and really contemplate on that. That is really important. And he uses the identical phrase in both those proverbs. Says the very same thing. So I think this is really important. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long upon the earth. Anybody here want a bad life? God says here that if you will honor and obey your parents, you'll have a good life. So just the opposite is true. If you dishonor and disobey, what kind of life are you going to have? A bad life. Okay? This Proverbs 6 goes on to say, bind them continually in your heart, tie them around your neck. So there's that symbol of authority and honor and wealth again. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. And the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. I think in the King James it's a strange woman, and this refers to a woman who wants to get intimate with a man she is not married to. So listen to again to the benefits of the teaching of a mother. They will guide you. They will watch over you and protect you. They will talk to you even after your mother is gone. They will light your path. They will give you discipline, and they will keep you from sexual immorality. So let's go to the next proverb, Proverbs 10, verse 1. The proverb of Solomon, a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is grief to his mother. You know, I know it's not fair, but dads get all the glory and moms get all the grief. So here it says, a foolish son is grief to his mother. A wise son is skillful. A foolish son, this word in Hebrew, you know what foolishness means in Hebrew? It means stupid. All right? So a stupid son brings grief to his mother. So if you want to be a wise child, just stop and just think, what would this cause my mother to grieve? And if that is so, then God is saying that you are stupid. I know we don't like to use that word, right? But that's what God uses. All right, Proverbs 15:20. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son despises his mother. And again, we have that word stupid. A stupid man despises his mother. How many times as a child have you done something despite your parents because you didn't like what they told you to do or did something? Anybody here guilty of that? My own brother? I can't believe it. Well, I remember one time my dad restricted me from going out with my friends, and I got kind of angry about that, and so I was just, you know, kind of mad. And by the way, I want you to know, I didn't come to the Lord till I was 20 years old, all right? So I wouldn't have done this as a Christian, all right? So I just want you to know that, all right? But anyway, so I got really mad at him, and so my dad had this pickup. I think it was a 1954 Chevy pickup. That's kind of a cool, if you had it today, it'd be really a cool pickup. Then it was just a, you know, an old pickup. But anyway, so I thought, oh, I'm going to get back at him. And this pickup had these tires on it. They had rims on it. You had to have these clamps that kind of went around the rim to hold the tire in. And, I mean, you had to beat on those things to get them to come up. And then they'd spring open. And, I mean, it was a lot of trouble to change a tire, all right? And, you know, we didn't have a Les Schwab's back in those days. So I'm really, really old, okay? And so anyway, I went out there that night. And I got this long nail. And I leaned it up against the back of the back tire, knowing that when my dad left, he had to back up, right? And so he backed up over it, and of course, it let all the air out of the tire, and he had a flat tire. And, you know, I'm so ashamed of that, that I think this is the first time I've ever shared that since I did it. My dad went to his grave and never knew about this, all right? But sometimes, you know what the Bible calls that kind of thing? That's stupid. All right? So, children... a wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son or a stupid man despises his mother. Let's go on to the next Proverbs, Proverbs 19:26. He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. You know, sometimes God puts things in his words that are so obvious, you're thinking, well, God, doesn't everybody know that? You know, why are you putting this here? I mean, isn't it just totally apparent that a person who would assault his parents is shameful and disgraceful? I mean, that's, you know, so Lord, why did you need to tell us that? Well, let me tell you something. We human beings can screw up anything, all right? We can pretty well rationalize anything, can't we? Even something like this, okay? So, anyway, the next proverb is 20:20. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in darkness. And it will be extinguished. It will disappear. Now, when I was growing up, I grew up in Northern California in the Motherlode country. And that was the mining area in California. Sacramento was not very far from where they first discovered gold in California. And I don't know if you know, do they still teach history, American history today? Okay, I don't know. But anyway, that you remember the 49ers who came in 1849 and they came to California in the gold rush? Well, anyway, this is the motherlode country. The motherlode means that's where the gold came from. And then, you know, it was washed down valleys and into rivers and different things. But the motherlode was the source of where that gold was. So in Nevada County, California, there are many, many abandoned mine shafts. And many times those mine shafts are really long. As a matter of fact, the Empire Mine in Grass Valley has over 300 miles of shaft in it, okay? So these things can go a long, long ways in the hills. So one of the things that me and my buddies used to do, and we didn't tell all my parents, and but we somehow lived through it, is we would go explore these mine shafts, okay? And sometimes you can go into some of these mine shafts, and I mean, they go in and they'll split up in about three different directions, and they go around curves, and, you know, they go way back into the mountainside. And so as kids, we would have candles, and we couldn't afford flashlights, and our parents wouldn't trust us with flashlights anyway. So anyway, we would go and we would explore these mine shafts, you know, with our little candles. And so we'd go way, way back inside the mountain sometime, and we would take our candle and just for the fun of being scared to death. Have you ever done things that just to scare yourself? Okay. So we would blow our candle out. And I will tell you, it was so dark there that you could almost feel the darkness. Okay. And of course, we were just so panicked that we'd search around for our matches to try to relight this candle because it was just scary because it was so dark in there. Okay. Well, that's kind of the description that we have here of this person who curses his father or his mother. His lamp will go out in a time of darkness. So in other words, when he really needs the light, his light will go out because he didn't listen to the teaching of his mother. He got himself to a position where he was like in the middle of that mountain, in that cave, and his candle went out and he didn't have another match. That's a terrible place to be. So that's what he says will happen to he who curses his father or his mother. Let's go on. As we look at this, you know, it is amazing how much emphasis God puts upon honoring parents. I would think that most people don't realize this, but did you realize that in the book of Exodus, under the Levitical law, in Exodus chapter 21, verse 17, it says, "He who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death." That was under the law. I mean, we usually think about the death sentence reserved for people that are really horrible. Well, here he talks about those who curse their mother and father. So, kids, this is important. You know, honoring and respecting your children, your parents, is very, very important. you remember in Ephesians chapter 6, where it gave reference to honoring and obeying your parents, which is the first commandment with promise. That promise was given in Deuteronomy 5:16 as part of the Ten Commandments. The fourth commandment says, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you on the land which the Lord your God gives to you." So the opposite is also true. If you dishonor them, you'll have a short, bad life. You know, as a pastor for many years, I've had to deal with tragedies. And there's been several tragedies where life was ended prematurely. And almost invariably, it happened because they were disobeying their parents. I remember one little boy by the name of Jeremy. His parents had left them at home. And the last thing the mom said to him is, "Don't ride the three-wheeler, you know, without me being there." And Jeremy decided that he knew better than what his mother did and got on the three-wheeler and rode and had an accident and broke his neck and died. You know, but those are the things that happen. This is true life. Sometimes we read the scriptures and we think, well, that will never happen to me. I'm sure that's what Jeremy must have thought that day. Jeremy was active in our Awana program. So anyway, God does not put these things down without a reason. Proverbs 23:22. "Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old." You know, you might not despise your mother when she's young enough to catch you, but when she gets old and can't catch you, then you can do it, right? No, he says here, even when she is old. You know, I realize, kids, that you may not think that your mom is really with it. You know, after all, she has to go to you to fix her devices for her, right? Okay. Well, I want you to know, guys, that she has wisdom that you would never dream about having. You know, she's got the kind of wisdom that can help you to wear the right clothes for a job interview, or how to choose the right spouse, or the right college. We'll get to this later when we get to Psalm 31 or Proverbs 31, where it talks about the virtuous woman. Did you know that Proverbs 31 was written by a woman, by a mother to her son? So again, it was given so that her son might be able to choose the right kind of spouse. Proverbs 23:25, let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave you birth. It's really interesting here that it says, let your father and mother be glad. The word here means to shout with exaltation. This proverb goes on to say, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave you birth. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, and an adulterous woman is a narrow wall. Surely she lurks as a robber and increases the faithlessness among men. So just a real cursory study of the Proverbs, you'll discover the principles of purity. And abiding by God's word delivers a person from impurity in this area. Proverbs 28:24. He who robs his father or his mother and says it is not a transgression is a companion of the one who destroys. The word rob there means to rip off. You know, I think that today probably we see this a lot. We see it in the sense where we have 30 and 35-year-old unmarried children living in their parents' basement and playing video games all day, you know. That's a form of ripping off your parents. They're taking what they had saved for their retirement, and they're using that up. Now, I realize that some of you have probably gone back to live with your parents for a while. My kids have done that. But, you know, they've always helped provide what was needed. It was never a freeloading type of thing. But what he's saying here is that, guys, gals, get a job. All right? You know, God has something greater for you than that. So, anyway, let's go on. Proverbs 29:15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. You know what the definition of the Hebrew word here for rod is? Stick. Do you know what the verb form is? It means to strike or to beat. Okay? That's not very popular today, is it? Well, I won't say anything more about it, but I'm not saying that. This is what God says, all right? Okay, so it goes on here that he who gets his own way, I think the idea here is a parent just giving up on his child. You know, you discipline, it just doesn't seem to do any good. So you just kind of, boys will be boys. My daughter is just so strong-willed, you know, and they just kind of give up on their children. Well, God says, don't do that. You know, just keep on keeping on doing what he tells you to do. okay. The next one here is Proverbs 30 and verse 11. There is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. The word here, kind, means cycle. So there's a cycle of a person like that. It goes on to say, included in the cycle, there is a kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his own filthiness. There is a kind, oh, how lofty are his eyes, and his eyelids are raised in arrogance. There is a kind of man whose teeth are like swords, and his jaws' teeth like knives, to devour the afflicted from among the earth, and the needy among men. So what he's saying here is if you see one of these characteristics in a person, then probably all of them are fairly accurate, is what he's saying. There is this kind of person. And a person's attitude towards one parent reveals his attitude toward others. Proverbs 30, verse 17. This is one of my favorites here. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the raven of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagle will eat it. Let me tell you what this is all about, okay? So this is really a story from nature. All right, when a lamb or a sheep or some animal is beginning to die, you know, of course, it collapses. But then it can struggle. Eventually it'll come to the point of where it can no longer defend itself. And what the raven will do is the raven is more brazen than the eagle. So the eagle is soaring up above, watching what's happening. But the raven, and you know this about crows and ravens, is they'll just kind of get right into the mix of things pretty quick. So the raven will come down and he will land on the animal. If the animal is able to struggle at all, he'll scare the raven away. But finally, when the animal is almost dead, he can no longer defend himself at all, then the raven will hop on it and the animal will no longer struggle. He may still be alive, but he's not struggling. And then when the raven comes to this point, then he will, first of all, pick out the eyes because that's the easiest thing for him to eat. And if the animal can no longer resist that, then the eagle up there, he sees what the raven is doing and he knows then that that animal can do him no harm. And so he will swoop down and chase the raven away, and he will eat the eye. Okay? Not a very pretty picture, but that's a picture of nature. All right? So what this picture describes then, he describes this child who is rebellious against his parents. Okay? And what that description is then those destructive forces in life, when they see that rebellion in that child, then they view that child just as that eagle viewed that animal that was dying. That animal could no longer defend itself. Well, that child, and they see that child can't defend himself. So those destructive forces in society, drug pushers, people with evil intent for our children, child traffickers, those kind of people, they see that rebellion, or just people that just want to take advantage of them. They see that rebellion and they realize that they are easy prey for them. Does that make sense? But you see, the sign is their attitude toward their parents. Well, let's go on here. This is the last one. This is Proverbs 31, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught. You ever wonder what the word oracle meant? I mean, that's kind of a strange word. We don't use it very much in our vernacular. But the word actually means burden, okay? So let's put that in there. The words of King Lemuel, the burden which his mother taught him. You know, I'm going to end on this proverb. It's the last proverb, so that's probably where I should end, right? But also, I'm going to end on this because I think this is one of the most important ones here as we talk about Mother's Day. You see, we've already talked about how men and women are different and are made different. But I believe from my training and from what I've read and from what I've experienced is that mothers have a special burden for their children, don't they? I mean, I'm concerned about my children and my grandchildren and what's going to happen to them and their lives. But I will tell you that my wife has a burden for those things. Has that been true? Is that your experience as well as you look at that? I mean, yeah, us guys, we're concerned. We are. I mean, I want my children to do well. I want them to succeed. You know, I want them to follow the Lord. I pray about it all the time. I pray for my grandchildren all the time that that's going to happen. But my wife, she has a burden for it. And I think that's one of the unique things about how God created women, is that they have this mother's burden. I mean, not only do we need to pray for them, but we need to pray for them, you know? And so, it ends right here, you know, with this proverb. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him, the burden which his mother taught him. Moms, I just want to thank you for carrying that burden. I think of my own dear mother and I thought, man, what a burden she carried for me, you know. But that is a special gift that God has given mankind, is the burden that he puts inside a mother. That special, unique caring that express it. How she cares about her children, her grandchildren. She carries that burden not like men do at all. I mean, yes, guys, I know you're concerned about your kids. I know you pray for them. I know you teach them. I know you get them in your word, in God's word. I know all of that. But moms carry this special mother's burden. And so I just want to thank you moms for the burden you carry for your children and for your family. Let's pray. Father God, I'm just so grateful for these people here today, and just thank you, Lord, that they've come to listen, to hear a message from you. Father, I realize that I'm not the greatest message carrier, but just thank you, Lord, for giving me the privilege of bringing this message about motherhood. And Lord, again, I want to thank you for these moms. Lord, I thank you for my own dear mother, who had such a burden for me all these years. And Lord, just thank you for that. Thank you for the love and the burden that a mother gives, that you created us so unique in this way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ladies, could you stand, please? And I'd like all of the men and all of the children, let's sing this blessing over all of these wonderful ladies this morning.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Sing again.
Lord, bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord,
I'll stand and sing amen to that.
Amen. 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 Amen.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you. In the morning, in the evening, and you're coming, and you're going, in your weeping and rejoicing, he is for you, 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 he is for you.
Blessing this morning.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give. Said,
amen. Praise Jesus. Don't forget about our photo booths. If you'd like to have a family picture, have a blessed week.
Thanks for joining us in the study of God's Word with Pastor Kerry Wacker. We'd love to have you join us in person for worship each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. We also meet Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Warren Community Fellowship is located at 56523 Columbia River Highway in Warren, Oregon, between Scappoose and St. Helens. For more information about Warren Community Fellowship or about WCF Ministries, call us at 503-397-4387. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.